Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. The financial crisis of 2008 happened under the watch of only a handful of Wall Street CEOs. A few of them ended up losing their jobs, but they still walked away with millions of dollars. Others weathered the storm and are still leading their firms, people like Lloyd Blankfein at Goldman Sachs and Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan. Well, now, more than 6 years later, how do these former and current CEOs make sense of the mess that they helped make? Well, joining me is William Cohen. He writes about the financial industry and talked to several of these executives for his article, The Wrecking Crew, in the current issue of Vanity Fair. And Bill, in the years since the crisis, do you think these executives have changed their views about what happened?
First of all, one of the interesting things about the article was, well, who would talk to me and who wouldn't? So I always find that fascinating. I feel like based on what happened, people should have an obligation to talk about it. It's part of history, and they walked off with so much money themselves without really being held responsible for what happened that the least they could do is try to reflect back and explain it to the rest of us.
But why do you think those CEOs, for example, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, they didn't talk to you? Why do you think that was?
Because they're disgraced and they don't want to be called out about it in the media. They want to pretend that it's all in the past and they can be left alone to spend their millions.
So for those people who did talk to you, like J.P. Morgan,
Jamie Dimon or Gary Cohn at Goldman Sachs, I mean, for them, obviously, they're still in positions of power on Wall Street. They still have shareholders. They still have a board of directors they have to report to. They're not private citizens, per se, in the way that, say, Dick Fuld or Jimmy Cain are private citizens. So I think they feel a little bit more of an obligation to explain what happened. And I think, by and large, what I found was there's a slight bit of contrition. I wouldn't exaggerate it, but there's a little bit of contrition. They recognize that it was a major screw-up on the part of Wall Street. I think they believe that there should be a degree more of accountability than there has been, as long as it's not directed in their direction. So they want accountability for other people. They don't want necessarily accountability for themselves. And then I found that a guy like Vikram Pandit, who was the former CEO of Citigroup, who's now works at a consulting firm, he actually was quite open and candid and was also extremely appreciative of the bailout that Citigroup got. And I found even Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan was really appreciative of all that the Treasury and the Fed and the federal government have done to bail out Wall Street.
Well, what do you think would be the incentive or could get those CEOs who ran the firms that did collapse or did disappear to actually start telling their side of the story?
You know, maybe if the threat of litigation goes away.
That's gone away completely practically.
Pretty much we're in the last, 75 days or 70 days now. Eric Holder a couple of weeks ago gave the U.S. attorneys around the country 90 days to bring either civil or criminal cases against Wall Street for what happened leading up to the financial crisis.
Basically, that's it. I mean,
That's it. It's outrageous, but that's it.
You know, there's been a lot of reforms that have been put in place since the collapse, and yet a lot of the banks are bigger than ever before. Where do we go from here?
So I think that really what we've created is in this country is what I call national champions. We've consolidated. There's been so much consolidation of assets and wealth, really, among these top five or six big banks in this country, and this whole notion of, you know, are they too big to fail, or has Dodd-Frank created a kind of wind down?
Dodd-Frank, which is the financial regulation that was put in place
after. Financial re-regulations that was put in place, the law that was put in place in June of 2010, you know, that created sort of a mechanism, a wind down mechanism, a dissolution mechanism. But I don't really think it's ever going to be invoked. We'll never know until there's another crisis. But I really can't imagine at this point that the powers that be, the regulators, the Fed, the Treasury, the Federal Reserve banks would ever pull the plug on a Goldman Sachs, would ever pull the plug on a JP Morgan. It just is inconceivable to me at this point.
Bill, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Charlie.
William Cohen is the author of The Wrecking Crew in this month's edition of Vanity Fair. As you get ready for work today, maybe even as you're listening to this, ask yourself, how am I feeling? Stressed? Anxious? Maybe you're a little excited because you're about to start a new project at work. Alexander Kaye is on the faculty of Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. And with his collaborators, they've been studying the thoughts and feelings of leaders and wrote about their findings for the Harvard Business Review. He and his team break out our emotions into two categories, higher and lower.
A higher state of mind might be something like satisfied, calm, content, happy, energized, joyful. And a lower state of mind might be something like tired, stressed, anxious, frustrated, disappointed, etc.
You can guess which state of mind his team has found is the best for succeeding at work, being calm. But that doesn't mean taking deep yoga breaths and chanting Om in the middle of a frustrating meeting.
Calm refers to a calm state of mind or a calm mental state. So you can imagine, Charlie, that you can actually have your mind flowing with clear thoughts in a calm mental state, yet you still have energy, you're still under pressure, you're still motivated, and you're still drive. So calm does not equate with lethargy. Actually, it's maybe that you're quiet-minded and not busy-minded.
So if you're feeling stressed at work or overwhelmed, how do you get into a better frame of mind?
Leaders report that when they eat well, when they're rested, and when they work out or do physical fitness, that their natural state of mind is more buoyant, more healthy, and they're able to take on more stress.
Okay, so exercise. But that's before or after work, if you can commit to it at all. What do you do when something happens at work?
During the day, we tend to go really quickly and to rev up and to go on consistent quick paces. The ability to stop, the ability to take a pause or to take a break or to engage in breathing are actually ways that we can immediately shift into a quieter and clearer state of mind.
Because being calm at work not only helps you be more productive and less stressed and probably enjoy your job more, it's contagious.
Leadership is a public act. There's plenty of research that corroborates the fact that we listen to leaders and emulate leaders and look at leaders and follow leaders in a different way than others. When a leader walks into a room frustrated, worried, anxious, and fearful, the people in that room are going to follow suit. It's contagious. Our state of mind is contagious.
Good advice, whether you're the CEO or an employee. You can hear the entire interview about how to change your state of mind at moneytalking.org or by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.